Hallelujah. How many glad that the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you? I tell you, there's power then on the inside of you. If the same spirit that raised him from the dead is on the inside of you, then there must be some mighty earth shaking, mighty mountain moving power down on the inside of you. I said it took power to raise him from the dead. The death couldn't hold him. The grave couldn't hold him. The power of God raised him from the dead. And that same power, it's not a different power. It's the same power. Aren't you glad? It's the same Holy Ghost power that's residing in you. That same power is lifting us up above trouble. It's that same power lifting us up above obstacles. It's that same power causing us to overcome in life. It's that same power that's giving us the victory in every area. It's the same power. Come on, let's sing a little bit more about that power.
The spirit of burning.
Come on, stand on.
The spirit of truth. My comforter.
Life when the enemy had his hand on you, and the enemy had his hand on us, and he had control over us, and the enemy would tell us, go do that, we'd run over there and do that. He'd say, go do this right now, we'd run over there and do that. And then the enemy, he would blind our eyes, and he put darkness on us, and he had us destined for a devil's hell. But oh, came the day when God shined the light of the gospel in our lives, and he sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to set us free. And Jesus took Satan's hand off of you and said, take your hand off of my child. And then he set you totally free. Hallelujah. I said he set you and I totally free. Glory to God. And the Bible said that he whom the Son set free is free indeed. And God don't want you and I bound for any reason. He don't want us bound by anything. He don't want us afraid of anybody, anything, any reason, because Jesus has already set us free. How many glad to be free in this place? I don't know about you. I'm glad to be free. Glad to be free. Glad that Jesus is my Lord. Glory to God. And if Jesus is your Lord, then you're free. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Well, you can have your seat if you can. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's thank all these folks again. Glory to God. Leading us into the presence of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. The sermon title tonight, no matter what the weapon is, we win. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for your goodness and grace in all of our lives. We trust you, look to you, lean on you. But Father, we reverence you, blessing you, honoring you, saying you are good and your mercy endures forever. We extol you and magnify you. And we proclaim there's no one even to compare to you. So tonight, ask you just to have your way in this place. We know that your word never comes back void. Everything you send your word to accomplish, it accomplishes that purpose. And tonight in faith, we add our faithful agreement to the power of your word. And we know that your word will accomplish that for which it's sent in the lives, in the hearts of every single believer listening to this message, those here in this service, those listening through some other venue. We thank you that the word shall be accomplished. The purpose, the plan, Father God, your purpose, your plan through your word shall be accomplished in them this evening. And Father, then we're just careful to give you all of the glory and the honor for that. And we thank you for the unction and for the utterance to speak unto your people tonight. And Father, we thank you for blessing our pastors, keeping them safe, using them mightily, effectually for your glory. Those who are with them, those in Oklahoma City, Father, continue to bless all of them, guard them, strengthen and keep them. And then we'll give you the glory for everything wrought in our midst by your word and by your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, there is an ongoing debate in our country, and in this election cycle, it's on the news all the time, but there is a debate about the right to keep and bear arms in our country. And they say 2015, in the year 2015, in that year, it has been the greatest year of gun sales in the U.S. in the history of the country, 2015. And we know this, our Second Amendment gives us the right to keep and bear arms. And folk today are strapped. They're packing power, packing heat. And record gun sales are up. And there is emphasis, if you will, in our country about the Second Amendment, about being able to keep guns and bear arms. And as I say, the Second Amendment gives us that right. And so that is on the minds of many, many people, record gun sales. More gun dealers than McDonald's restaurants, more gun dealers than grocery stores, more gun dealers than gas stations. There is an emphasis in our country on the Second Amendment and the rights that we have through our Second Amendment rights. And people understand and want that right to be enforced. And so this message tonight, no matter what the weapon is, we win. If you'll go with me in your word, 1 Samuel 17, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. Because even though our country, we emphasize thank God for our Second Amendment. Thank God for all of our rights as citizens and wherever you're from, whatever country you may be from, thank God for all of the rights you have. But having said that, there is a weapon that we should be more concerned about. There are weapons, if you will, that should garner our attention even more than our Second Amendment rights. That's all right for that, but there are weapons that are much more important to you and I, and we cannot afford to be strapped on the one hand with earthly weapons and then be unstrapped on the other hand with spiritual weapons. And sometimes we're guilty of paying more attention to an earthly weapon than we are to a spiritual weapon. But if you're alive today, then you better know what your spiritual weapons are and how to use them. Over in 1 Samuel 17, you know this story about David and Goliath. We'll start at 32, 1 Samuel 17:32, reading from the New Living Translation, if you will. "Don't worry about this Philistine," David told Saul. "I'll go fight him." "Don't be ridiculous," Saul replied. "There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're only a boy, and he's been a man of war since his youth." But David persisted. "I've been taking care of my father's sheep and goats," he said, "and when a lion or a bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a cub and rescue the lamb from its mouth. And if the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death. And I've done this to both lions and bears, and I'll do it to this pagan Philistine too. For he has defied the armies of the living God. And the Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine." And Saul finally consented. "All right, go ahead," he said, "and may the Lord be with you." And then Saul gave David, verse 38, Saul gave David his own armor, a bronze helmet, and a coat of mail. David put it on, strapped the sword over it, took a step or two to see what it was like, for he had never worn such things before. "I can't go in these," he protested to Saul. "I'm not used to them." And so David took them off again. And he picked up 5 smooth stones from a stream and put them into his shepherd's bag. And then, armed only with his shepherd's staff and a sling, he started out across the valley to fight the Philistine. 41. Goliath walked out toward David with his shield bearer ahead of him, sneering in contempt at this ruddy-faced boy. "Am I a dog?" he roared at David, "that you come at me with a stick?" And he cursed David by the names of his gods. "Come over here, and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the wild animals," Goliath yelled. 45. David replied to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Today, the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head." And with that, David marched boldly toward Goliath, and you know the rest of the story. And David took a smooth stone out of the bag, and he let that stone go. And as he did, he let the stone go, but God was guiding the stone. And let me just read that so I don't leave anything out. 48. As Goliath moved closer to attack, David quickly ran out to meet him. Reaching into his shepherd's bag, taking out a stone, he hurled it with his sling and hit the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank in, and Goliath stumbled and fell face down to the ground. 50, finally. So David triumphed over the Philistine with only a sling and a stone, for he had no sword. And then David ran over and pulled Goliath's sword from its sheath, and David used it to kill him and cut off his head. You know, we've all read this story many, many times, and every time you read it, it defies really what David did, just defies all natural reason. Here's a man short and short in stature. The Bible says he was ruddy in his appearance and his facial features, reddish facial features. And Goliath was really insulted and offended at who Israel put up to fight. Essentially, whoever won this battle, then the other sides were going to concede at the victor of this battle. And so you can expect that each side is going to put their best forward. And they say Goliath stood some over 9 feet tall, 9 feet 6 inches tall. And not only that, he had a javelin and a spear and a sword, and he had an armor bearer ahead of him. And he was big and bad, and he looked the part. And Israel, on the other hand, was shaking in fear. They just looked at Goliath, and they looked at who they had. And they sized up Goliath, and they sized up who they had to fight Goliath, and they determined that we ain't got nobody who can beat him. We ain't got nobody tall as that. We ain't got nobody strong as that. There ain't no way we can't win this fight. And Israel, thinking from a natural perspective, forgot the most important thing about the battle. And that is that the battle is the Lord's. The battle is never ours. The battle is the Lord's. And you may be going through a struggle tonight. You may be going through a battle tonight, but don't do what Israel did. You better remember, the most important thing you can remember is this battle does not belong to you. This battle is not yours. This battle belongs to your heavenly Father. And if you'll trust him and do what he said, God will bring you through to the victory. And David knew and reminded himself of what all of Israel had somehow forgot. Who is on the Lord's side? Because God and anybody is a majority. It doesn't matter how many are stacked up against you. Doesn't matter how many the opposing side has. God with anybody else is a majority. You might as well take it to the bank. If God is on your side, who can be against you? There's no harm, no danger can come to you. If God be with you, then who can come against you? And so you and God are the majority. And Elisha's servant found out one day that he got up and he must have been taking care of the horses or whatever. And he looked up and he saw the armies all around, the army of the enemy had him surrounded, outgunned, outmatched. And he went in and he told Elisha, he said, alas, my master, what shall we do? What shall we do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Oh, Lord, they got us outnumbered. What are we going to do? There ain't no way. There ain't no way. Must have been a little bit like what David faced here. Might be a little bit about what, like you facing. Oh, but Elisha knew what David knew. Elisha said, Lord, open his eyes. Talking to a servant, Lord, open my servant's eyes so that he can see what I see. And then the Lord opened his eyes. And when the Lord opened his eyes, he saw chariots of fire that had the enemies that had encircled the enemy's army. And they had the enemy, the Lord's army had the enemy's army outnumbered. And I tell you, if you get caught looking with the wrong pair of eyes, you'll see the wrong thing and be in fear. If something's making you afraid tonight, you're looking with the wrong set of eyes. You said, do I need to get my extra glasses on? Do I need to get my bifocals on? No, it ain't your glasses. It ain't your bifocals. You're looking with the eyes of your head, and you've got to learn to look with the eyes of your spirit. Because if you'll look at your situation using the eyes of your spirit, then you'll see that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You can't go under for going over. God has made you to be the head and not the tail. God has made you to be the victor and not the victim. God's made you to be the conqueror, not the one who gets conquered. And so David, armed with that information, marched out to the battlefield. I want to say three things to you tonight. Number one, I want to tell you this. This first point, look, your weapons are mighty through God. Look at somebody and tell them your weapons are mighty through God. Yeah, I tell you, look over at 2 Corinthians chapter 10 with me for a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. You know, if our true enemy were in the flesh, then we'd be well protected as a society, as a country, arming ourselves, using our Second Amendment rights, we'd be well protected most of. But let me tell you this, our enemy is not made of flesh and blood. Our enemy is a spirit. And we can't fight him with carnal weapons. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, King James Version here, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I said, your weapons are mighty through God. But our weapons are not carnal. They're mighty through God, but they are not carnal weapons. They are spiritual weapons. And sometimes, my friend, sometimes the great battlefield in which we fight is there in our mind. And because of that, we must obey the words of our commander, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and then bringing into captivity every thought to make it obedient to Jesus Christ. I tell you, our way to victory has to come, as Pastor was preaching today, and if you, man, didn't hear his message, you need to hear his message today. It was so good. They have the CDs out there in the bookstore. A renewed mind is what we have to have. Said a renewed mind. And the Bible commands you and I to take every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. And I tell you, when we take every thought captive, what that means is that we're going to be listening to the thoughts of our commanding officer. And when we listen to the thoughts of the commanding officer, how many of you know he knows how to get us the victory? He's already won the victory. Praise God. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 2, go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And look in there about verse 4. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And look in there about verse 4. The word says, no soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. And if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Let me tell you this, our weapons are mighty through God, but our weapons are not carnal. Look over at Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19, verse 11. New Living Translation. Acts 19, verse 11. You might be fighting with the wrong weapons tonight. It's all right. A natural weapon will overcome a natural enemy, but a natural weapon won't overcome a spiritual enemy. Take your gun and shoot a demon and see what that does to a demon. You'll empty the magazine. You won't do him any harm. Oh, but there is a weapon. There's a weapon that has defeated him hands down every single time. And if you use that weapon, he'll stay right there under your feet where Jesus put him. Amen? Acts 19, verse 11. God gave Paul, read in New Living Translation, God gave Paul the power to perform unusual miracles. When handkerchiefs or aprons that had merely touched his skin were placed on sick people, they were healed of their diseases and evil spirits were expelled. We just prayed for a prayer cloth a few moments ago. How many released your faith when we prayed for that prayer cloth? I tell you, testimony. You're going, testimonies after testimonies come from those prayer cloths that we pray over in faith. Amen? Amen. We send somebody a prayer cloth. We send a weapon in there. An anointed cloth where the power of God has been endued into that cloth, driving out that which the enemy has wrought. You send a prayer cloth into a hospital room, you send a weapon in there. 13, Acts 19, 13, a group of Jews was traveling from town to town, casting out evil spirits. And they tried to use the name of the Lord Jesus in their incantation, saying, I command you in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, to come out. Seven sons of Sceva, a leading priest, were doing this. But one time when they tried it, the evil spirit replied, I know Jesus and I know Paul, but who are you? And the man with the evil spirit leaped on them, overpowered them, attacked them with such violence, they fled from the house naked and battered. The story of what happened spread quickly throughout all of Ephesus to Jews and Greeks alike. A solemn fear descended on the city. The name of the Lord Jesus, the name of the Lord Jesus, the name of the Lord Jesus was greatly honored. And many who became believers confessed their sinful practices. A number of them who had been practicing sorcery bought their incantation books and burned them at the public bonfire. The value of the books was several million dollars, and so the message about the Lord spread widely and had a powerful effect. I said the name of Jesus is a weapon that we've been given. And I tell you, we're to exercise our authority using faith in that name. And let me say this, our faith individually in the name, thank God, whatever our faith level in that name, in the name of Jesus is, our faith level can be increased. Our faith, your faith in that name can be increased. And you and I, our faith in that name tonight ought to be greater than it was a year ago at this time. I said, I wish I could get a bigger amen than that. I said, your faith in the name of Jesus should be ever increasing. And your faith in the name of Jesus should be greater tonight than it was a year ago. And there's no other name that can overcome that name. There's no other name that can defeat that name. There's no other name that's more powerful than that name. Look with me over at Philippians chapter 2, around about verse 9. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9. Oh, the weapons that we have been given, they're not carnal weapons, but they are powerful weapons. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. God has equipped us with the most sophisticated weaponry ever known to mankind. Part of our weapon package, if you will, is the use. Glory to God. It's the authority to use his name and the authority to exercise faith in that name, in and through that name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hey, that makes the devil tremble. When a Christian starts using the name and starts exercising the name in faith, it makes the devil tremble. It'll turn a situation around real quick. even the newest believer who's been born again for 10 seconds, who finds out they have authority through the name of Jesus, can put the devil on the run. I said, oh, yes, you will. You'll put him on the run. The enemy is not supposed to be chasing any of us around. We're supposed to have him on the run. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen than that. When you use that name, there's no power like the power there is in that name. And you know, in the wild, there's hardly a name that you can mention that's stronger than a lion. A lion is if you ever been up close, anybody ever been up close to a lion? Just an amazing animal God has created. I know one time our Sunday school class, we had gone here. Broken Arrow used to have an animal sanctuary down there in East BA, and we had gone there for a fellowship, and they had lions and tigers and all kind of animals out there right out here in East BA. Now, something happened because a bunch of them got out and was running through neighborhoods. And so how you like to live in that neighborhood? I look outside and say, lions and tigers and bears. Oh, my. I ain't going out. No, they got out. And so they had to shut the place down. But they had a tiger there that was Mike Tyson's old tiger. And they had all these lions and tigers in there. They had panthers. They had all kinds of. And then they had this tiger. And the one tiger, and he was way up. You know, it was in a cage. He was caged. And he was way back there, like about where the doors are, you know, to exit the auditorium. And they had said to us, they said, now look, the tiger was abused. And he came out of kind of like a circus environment, worked in a circus or something like that. And said the tiger is very touchy, and said, now look, when your team comes out, when your people come out here, don't wear a hat, because the person who abused the tiger always had a hat on. And then they said, don't wear any sunglasses, because he wore a hat and a sunglasses, and then he talked on a cell phone. And they said what he would do, what would make the tiger so mad, he would get a big fire hose, turn the fire hose on while he's talking, he got the sunglasses on, the hat, he's talking, and then he would spray the tiger, and the tiger watched that so long, and they said the tiger gets violently wild when he sees somebody in a hat, sunglasses, or talking on a cell phone. And they said, so when you bring your group out here, tell them no hat. And we would tell them, if you got a hat, leave it here. If you got sunglasses, leave it here. Take your cell. Ain't none of us getting hurt for you. Leave the cell phone, you know. But one member of Sunday school, well, he got there late. He was coming from work. And that cat, you know what I'm about to say. That cat showed up, good brother, love him to pee. He showed up in a hat, a red hat, glasses, talking on a cell phone. And we were trying to get the tiger's attention, just trying to get a picture because it was way back there. But when he walked up, that tiger, woo, he jumped up, made a beeline toward him. We didn't know, we didn't see what was happening. The guy was walking up behind us with the cell phone, and that tiger hit that cage. And woo, you talk about putting the fear of God in people. I said, well, it's time to move on to the next exhibit. I don't need to see no more. And the poor guy, you know, he said, what happened? What happened? And we said, get that hat off. Take them glasses off. Put that phone down. What's wrong with you? It's just an amazing, amazing animal. But that animal's no match for the weapon we've been given in the name of Jesus. I said, we've been given a weapon through the name of Jesus. And our weapons, and see, we can't use our weapons in a fleshly way. Now, I read two weeks ago, this guy is in the news. This guy in South Africa, Kruger National Park, you know, that's a national wildlife reserve, very famous. And he says that he was in a car with a group of people, a group of believers, and they were riding through the park looking at the animals. And he says he was praying in other tongues. But then he did something that can only be characterized one way. Stupid. Well, okay, let's see if I can find a better way. Crazy. No, I can't find a better word. Well, anyway, what he did was in the flesh, because he decided that he was going to demonstrate that the lions were subject to him. And without any leading or being led by the Spirit, without being in any physical harm or danger, he jumped out of the car and started running toward lions. But the lions just looked at him like the demon looked at the sons of Sceva. And then he said he got about halfway across there to the lions. And then he looked, ooh, this ain't going to be good. And so he turned around and hightailed it and ran. But by the end, the lions was after him. And they got him just before he got to the car. And they say across his, how should I say this, across his posterior, they swiped him and took out a chunk of meat. And they did get him into the car. But he learned a valuable lesson. I mean, we have weapons, but we are not to put the Lord our God to the test. I said, I wish I had an amen there. There's some people that go around because the Bible says that as believers, you know, that no poisonous snake can harm us. People go around handling snakes. Well, that's ridiculous. The Bible doesn't tell us to go around handling those snakes. What the Bible meant is if something accidentally happened, like what happened to Paul over in Acts 27 and 28, he put his hand, you know, in the wood, lifting up the wood after the shipwreck at Malta, and then a snake bit him. But then what happened? He shook it off and suffered no ill effect. He wasn't doing something foolish with his authority. We've got to use our authority. We've got to use our weaponry the way that God intended. Now, a lot of us are causing friendly fire. We shooting ourselves in the foot, shooting friends and neighbors, doing kind of thing, because we're not doing the way God told us to use it. We must use our authority the way the Lord himself designed each weapon to be used. And so our weapons are so mighty, and if we would obey. Now the seven sons of Sceva, look, they heard, they looked at Paul, they heard that, but the problem was they had not been given that authority. That authority has been given to each member of the body of Christ, to each called out one, to each member of the ecclesia. That divine authority has been given. I said, aren't you glad about it? And I tell you, they didn't, you know, if you're not a believer, then you don't have that authority. That authority has not been given to you if you're not a believer. But if you're a believer, you have that authority. And sadly, I mean, I lived a good part of my life without knowing that I had that authority. Oh, but then came the day when I found out about the authority that Jesus had given to me. And there were things that I had been putting up with from Satan that I said, you know what, I'm not putting up with that anymore. Your days of intimidating me, your days of putting me in fear, your days of chasing me are all over. Because I found out I got authority over you through the name of Jesus, through the word of God, through the power and efficacy of his blood. We've got authority over him. And if we'll use that authority, man, go with me real quickly. Isaiah 54. Oh, man, Isaiah picked up on the authority that's been given to you and I as believers. And down around verse 17, oh, man, the story is told. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Every tongue that accuses you in judgment, you will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication is from me, declares the Lord. I tell you, that's a powerful scripture. Because that scripture implies that it doesn't matter what the weapon is that the enemy formed against us, God's always got a plan of victory for you and I. The real question is, are we going to submit ourselves to God? James 4:7 said, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he'll do what? He'll flee from you. Amen. But there has to first be us submitting to the Lord. Submit to the Lord. Submit to the Lord. Amen. Resist him. Resist him in the faith. And then he flees from us. But this scripture said, no weapon formed against you will prosper. And the enemy does form many a weapon. He forms many a weapon, and sometimes you can hear his weapons. Sometimes you see his weapons. He forms weapons all the time. His weapons are oftentimes based in fear. You get a report from the doctor that's not a good report. And if you're not careful, the enemy will form a weapon. And in addition to the weapon that may be going on in your body, the enemy will form a weapon in your mind. And you can't afford to have the enemy's weapon at work in your body and in your mind. I said, because if you'll take every thought captive according to the word of God and believe his word in your heart and speak his word from your mouth, what's going on in your body will change. I said, when the right thing is in your mind, what's going on in your body will change. Your body will always, our bodies always follow our mind, good or bad. Our body will always follow our mind. Get your mind centered upon the bedrock of Scripture, upon the authority of Scripture, upon the authority of His Word. And if you got a negative report, what does the Word say about it? You better go back a few chapters to Isaiah 53. You better go forward a few chapters to 1 Peter chapter 2. You better go back a few chapters to Matthew chapter 8. And on and on and on. What does the Word say about your situation? Some of us know that we have a gospel gun, but we ain't loaded the gun or used the gun in decades. It's time for you to dust off your gospel gun. It's time for you to load it with Holy Scripture concerning your situation, concerning your case, and blow the devil to smithereens. Amen. Some Christians, they got the gun and they said, fire, ain't nothing. Fire, oh, I got the safety latch on. There ain't no safety latch on God's gun. I said, God's gospel gun ain't got no safety latch. You point it, you better mean it. And if you mean it, then you better shoot it in the name of Jesus. But you will back that joker down every single time. God has given you and I authority. And it really doesn't matter what the weapon is, we win. And the Bible says that David overcame Goliath. He overcame him. How did he do it? How did he do it? He overcame him with a sling and a stone. He didn't even have a sword that day. It's so unlikely, the most unlikely battle to ever, the most unlikely victory to ever happen. He didn't even have a sword. He had a sling and a stone that were weapons of the Lord. And you have a sling and you have a stone. You say, I ain't got no sling or stone. This word is your stone. You need to reach into the bag and get the scripture that applies to your case. You say, I'm broke. Well, you need to go to the scripture that said, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. Amen. Whatever the situation is, get your stone out of this word. You say, I ain't got no sling. If you'll put that stone in your heart, the stone of God's word in your heart, and then off your tongue is your sling. Amen. The word coming out of your heart, believing with the heart, and then coming out of your mouth. It'll hit a direct target every single time. David took the rock out in faith. David slung the rock in faith. But oh, what happened after that was all God. I said, David, he was skilled. David had some skills. But what happened after he slung it in faith? That was all God. It was God who directed the rock. It was God who made the rock hit the bullseye. It was God who caused the rock to miss the armor bearers, to miss the shield, to miss Goliath's armor, his helmet, and strike him right in the forehead. Oh, God directed that rock. And when you use scripture, the word coming off your mouth, like in Matthew 4, 4 through 11, when that word starts coming out of your mouth and when you start to say, all hell may rise up against you, but you start to say, hey, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And when you start to say, but it is written in the word about me, it is written. Oh, what happens after that is up. God will take care of it after that. You must get the word in your heart. You must put the word on your mouth. But God will direct that word to the victory. And he will lay out Satan again, just like Goliath was laid out. Goliath's fate is Satan's fate. And the question is, are you going to sit on your scripture? Are you going to sit on them stones? And sometimes Goliath gets to boasting and shouting. And Christian folk just sit down on a bag of rocks, the bag of scripture, and say, well, we're going, I don't know what we're going to do. He is over 9 feet tall. I wonder if he's got any brothers that big. Get your eyes off your problem. Get your eyes on your God and on your solution through his word. Get that word in your heart and coming out of your mouth. And what happened to Goliath will happen to Satan again and again and again. Why? Because he's under our feet. Why? Because he's already a defeated foe. Why? Because if we'll do what Jesus said, we'll walk in victory. It really doesn't matter what the weapon is. You say, but you don't know what's happened to me. It really doesn't matter what's happened to you. It really doesn't matter what the weapon is. I want you to know tonight we win. With every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we thank you so much. for your goodness and grace. Thank you so much for speaking to every person here. Father, some are facing battles, going through tough situations, circumstances, obstacles, trials, hard times. Oh, but the greater one is on the inside of us. We acknowledge that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. We acknowledge, if you be for us, who can be against us? We acknowledge that you have made us to be overwhelming conquerors through Christ, Father God. And so we pray you'll encourage those tonight who have thought that they were losing the battle, who have thought that they were destined to lose. But oh, as members of the ecclesia, the called out one, you've destined us to win tonight. And so we bless you and thank you. Pray you'll remind people of that. Deliver your people. Father, with your mighty arm, cause great deliverance. And just when it looks like they're going under, listen, looks like they're not going to make it, Father, cause them to rise above to the victory. Cause them to be the head and not the tail, just like you promised. And oh, on our part, we're going to do what you said. We're going to rise with our God-given authority, going to use the name of Jesus, going to use the word of God, going to use the blood of the Lamb. Father, going to use all of our redemptive benefits. Father God, use our authority through those things. And Father, do what you said. Believe from our heart, speak from our mouth. So we thank you for total victory tonight in your people and give you all the glory in Jesus' name. With every head still bowed, if you're here tonight and you say, you know, I am going through a battle myself, but I'm more like the seven sons of Sceva. I don't sense that authority because I've not given my life to Jesus. Oh man, tonight's your night. Anybody here like that? You say, I want to give my life to Christ tonight. I want that God-given authority. Anybody here under the sound of our voice, you say, I want Jesus. I want to submit my life to Christ. Is anybody here tonight? You say, well, look, I'm a Christian. I was walking with the Lord, but I've started doing my own thing. I've gone my own way. I haven't been living actively for the Lord. But tonight, I want to make it right. I want to get right with God tonight. Let me see your hand in here. I want you to pray for me. I want to make it right with God tonight. The enemy, he will run roughshod over you. And as a backslidden Christian, he will make your life miserable. The most unhappy person on the planet is a Christian out of fellowship with God. But you don't have to be. We can help you tonight. The Lord can help you. You just humble yourself and look to him. Raise your hand. Anybody in here like that tonight? Father, we thank you, we look to you, we honor you. We don't see any hands, but we trust you tonight. And so thank you for ministering to and equipping us so well. You've equipped us as the Christian army with more sophisticated weaponry than's ever been known to mankind. Help us to obey you and follow you as we use that authority with the weaponry that you've given us. Help us not to sit idly by as the enemy attacks without standing with our God-given authority, keeping him under our feet where you destined him to be. So thank you for it now. Thank you for helping your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Glory to God. Well, stand up on your feet, my brother, my sister, stand up on your feet tonight. Lift one hand to the Lord. Father, we just thank you tonight. We honor you, bless you, praise you as we prepare to go. Ask you to keep us safe till we see each other again. Bless them and keep the Hagen safe. All those who are with them, all who are in Oklahoma City, bless them, keep them safe, Father. In Jesus' name. Before we go, did we have any guests, any first time? No? Okay, all family tonight. All right, well, we love you. You be right here on Wednesday night, Our Power. God bless you. We love you.